Steve Charles of Mimix Group, my guest, talking about his top three for 2013. Steve, your first point is strategic sourcing, and this has been knocking around for a while, and some adaption, it's been a little harder sometimes than others. Do you think 2013 is the year that strategic sourcing really breaks through, makes an impact on the federal government?
I do. I do for a couple of reasons. The primary reason is that the government's fiscal pressures are going to continue to drive for lower costs, and that's really what strategic sourcing is all about. The groundwork has been laid. In fact, since 2005, it's been around long enough that we even have a GAO report on the progress here that came out in September, and now new guidance here in December.
Now, you write that it is happening in within some agencies, but you have a question mark next to the idea of it happening across agencies, and that's where it seems to me strategic sourcing really has to happen to be effective. Agencies have to be willing to work together and work with each other to really make strategic sourcing effective. Is that a fair estimation on my part?
Right. Well, that's the dream. The dream always has been how to leverage the government's buying power to buy with economic advantage, to buy in volume. And of course, the challenge for the government is aggregating those requirements and pooling the money. Something that some agencies are starting to do and have a track record of at the department level, and the GAO report cites some of those different commodity areas. But this idea of crossing departmental boundaries to aggregate requirements and pool money is something that just really hasn't happened yet, but is something that OMB and Congress would like to see because, again, it's about buying in bulk.
To me, from the outside looking in, the requirements part looks a lot harder than the money part. Am I on track there?
I think of the two so intertwined because it's the program managers, their acquisition staffs, who have to define requirements, identify options, and then put together an acquisition package, a purchase request, then for contracting officers to work on. So they work in their own little worlds at that program level because that's where they have spending authority. That's because of the way Congress appropriates money to the line items in the budget, which are run by program managers. And so this idea of stepping outside of that and collaborating with others to write requirements and somehow pooling money, which is really difficult. The system is set up with tens of thousands of accounts that map back at Department of Treasury to the appropriation line items. So how to pool this money and keep the accounting straight, given the realities of fiscal law, that law that pertains between Congress and the agencies, is a thing that we all struggle with. I've spent many times trying to help multiple programs, even just within a department, develop joint requirements and try to pool their money, and it is hard.
The second item on your list is, you write, commodity IT is expected to be introduced early in the next session, but what is commodity IT? How important is it to define commodity IT before the government starts to move forward on it?
So this whole thing of commoditization is also being driven by the desire to lower costs. So when we can start to identify things that are common across the government, where the government starts writing common requirements based on agreed upon standards, turning differentiated items into undifferentiated items, it can drive costs down. But what is commodity IT? It's a very good question. We know how the commodity markets work for things like gold and oil and corn and eggs and even DRAM chips. Generic pharmaceuticals. These are all examples of undifferentiated products produced by multiple manufacturers. But what does that mean when it comes to IT? So the government, I believe, It's even in the draft Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act. The FITARA draft legislation would require the Director of Office of Management and Budget to define commodity IT. And so, you know, it's a buying function to define requirements in a way that would commodify them. Certainly sellers aren't about to do that. Sellers are always thinking about differentiation, unique advantages, new and better capability. They are anything but commodification. So it will be interesting. We have draft legislation that says it has to happen. We have a set of blanket purchase agreements now for IT run by GSA out of the IT Commodity Center. Five different areas of IT that they're calling a commodity, everything from, you know, laptops and PCs to data center equipment. But every one of those brands is unique in one way or another. So they're not true commodities. So when they say IT commodification or IT commodity, what does it really mean? It's going to involve lots of conversation. I know industry and the associations are talking about it. I know we're talking about it with our government counterparts, but you know what it actually means and how it will actually get implemented remains to be seen.
Steve Charles of Immix Group talking about his top three for 2013. The third item on your list is counterfeit electronics and supply chain risk management. And I think in 2012, we've seen more emphasis on supply chain and counterfeit parts than we've probably seen in all the other years I've paid attention to the government put together. Do you expect that emphasis to get a lot hotter and heavier in 2013, Steve?
I do, and this is why. We had the National Defense Authorization Act of 2011 that set in place law saying that government contractors and subcontractors, anyone in the supply chain involving electronic parts, bearing 100% risk liability, potentially unlimited liability, for items that are counterfeit and the damages that those counterfeit items would cause. In 2012 here, we have the Defense Authorization Act for 2013, and the 2013 Act adds a couple of paragraphs, providing a safe harbor to contractors if they have a system in place to detect and avoid, and if they are buying parts, products, anything with an electronic component from the original equipment manufacturer or an authorized representative of the original equipment manufacturer. So this concept of tracking the chain of custody of products from the origination is something that is now being held up as a safe harbor as part of our systems. We didn't have that last year. We will have it this year. The implementing regulations around last year's law and this year's law we expect to pop out of DOD, you know, in the coming months. And so I know we here at Immix Group have our trusted supplier program well underway, making sure that we are able to do the things that we anticipate the government is going to be asking us for to guarantee product authenticity.
Steve, that's what I need. That's exactly the right time and a terrific conversation. Thanks very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Francis. This gave me an opportunity actually to think about these topics, do a little writing. So we're gonna post some blog posts. So as soon as we know the links to this, to your piece, we'll embed those.
Oh, terrific. That's great. As soon as we get it posted next week, things will be a little bit slow because we're running short staffed, as you can probably imagine. But yeah. Whenever.